Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Here in about 10 minutes, we'll get to some news in the NFL today. If you didn't see it, Aiden Hutchinson, the very talented defensive lineman for the Detroit Lions, signing a new 4-year deal. Paid. Big time money. We'll discuss that, and gets us into a conversation about George Karlaftis, his deal he signed in the offseason. And you might be surprised, through the first 8 weeks of the season, some of the numbers between Karlaftis and Aiden Hutchinson. And as I said, I'm not saying Karlaftis is Aiden Hutchinson, but puts the contract in perspective a little bit more. Meanwhile, we know Jalen Moore has been playing left tackle for this football team for multiple weeks. He's going to play left tackle on Sunday.
For the foreseeable future,
yeah,
honestly.
Nobody expects Josh Simmons back before the bye week. The question is how soon after the bye week. I want to start actually with that because it'll help us with the conversation about Jalen Moore as a starter and how long. And that is, when could Josh Simmons even be back with the team? We had Nate Taylor on yesterday. He had some reporting over the weekend suggesting that, you know, there's a lot better communication. Maybe. It could be a couple weeks. Then Albert Breer had this late last night. He wrote a piece about a bunch of other stuff. It's just one snippet. I'll read you it. It said, "What I know is that the issue first arose just before the Jags game. Simmons ended up playing in that matchup, then left right before the Lions game. The cited family aspect of his absence is real, and that was a part of the background that teams had to work through when he was coming out of college. Here's the other detail that's important. This is all from Albert Breer. If the Chiefs felt this was going to be an absence of more than a month, they would have placed him on the non-football injury list. So the timeline as they worked with Simmons, and they've been in constant communication with him as of late, has been more week-to-week than long-term. Getting Simmons back, another reason to believe the Chiefs are only going to get better even over the months to come." That's from Albert Breer. Some of that information we already kind of knew.
So some of this is like a cultural thing, perhaps, or maybe?
The sentence that's interesting is, the cited family aspect of his absence is real. That was a part of the background that teams had to work through.
Was that another part of why he fell to where he fell? I thought the injury was the main reason. Albert Breer is certainly suggesting that that was another thing that teams were culling through in making a determination about where Josh Simmons should be drafted, because the talent's undeniable. We've already seen that. The man can be a starting left tackle, a very good one in the NFL for a long time if he wants to be and if he continues to develop the way he has so far. Look, the Simmons stuff, between that and what Clark Hunt said on Sunday before the game, I still don't feel like they got a firm return to work date.
No, but they're at least talking every week. Yes. It sounds like at first that wasn't happening. So they're like, what is going on? We got to talk to us here, please. And it sounds like that has been corrected over the last 2 weeks.
I will give it grace in the situation in the sense that if he comes back after the bye, this seems to make sense. If he's still absent after the bye, well, then what am I supposed to assume he's returning? I'm sorry, the week-to-week stuff doesn't fly at that. It would have been four full games that he missed. After this one, he'll have missed four full games. Had a then bye week, so five full weeks. If he can't return by then, well, then the amount of time, and this is the other part, the amount of time he would have missed, and then the amount of time it would take him
to ramp up
and get back to speed, because he's obviously not practicing. He's probably not in game shape and some of the stuff that you would expect for a guy that would miss 5 or 6 weeks. So the ramp up time, in addition to the weeks he'd miss gold, that would just make Jalen Moore the starter the rest of the year. And do I have some concerns over Jalen Moore the starter the rest of the year? Sure, a little. For the first time all season, he showed a crack. Now, it was mostly in the first drive, a little bit in the third drive where he struggled. He wasn't nearly as good as he had been in the previous weeks. Didn't cost him the game. Certainly didn't blow every rep. But he had a couple times where he got beat. And they're going to face Nick Bonito in a couple of weeks. And that's a real challenge. They got some real good edge guys coming to town over the next month and a half. So, like, there's going to be there. And this goes to any backup. This is not more related or even a crack on him. I mentioned this to Drew with Jake Browning when he was citing like the seven games he had played. It is easy to look good in a small sample size as a player who is traditionally a backup. It is hard to look good over the long term if everybody knows your moves, everybody's got tape on you, everybody's seen you a million times. And so do I have some concern that Jalen Moore will show some warts throughout the season? Yeah, a little bit.
Well, so the opponent they just faced, the Commanders, that was not the defensive front to get your answer if a team could take advantage of, in this case, Mike Caliendo and Jalen Moore playing. Now, we'll find out from Andy a little bit more here at 11:45, guys, about Trey Smith and if he's going to be available on Sunday in Buffalo or if this back issue is going to really linger and they're going to give him another week and buy another week with the bye week and all that and really get him fully good on the back. And I'm not saying that's the worst idea either, as much as we all want to see him play on Sunday, talking about Trey Smith. But I guess what I'm saying is the Commanders were not the team that was going to take advantage of the potential inefficiencies on your O-line. The Broncos will. The Bills, to a certain extent, although losing at Oliver changes my opinion on that a little bit, too.
I actually feel like
whether it's, you know, Jalen Moore and Caliendo again, we know it'll be more, but if Caliendo has to play, I don't think the Bills are necessarily a defensive front to take advantage of it either.
And we'll get our first view of that today as practice reports, and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes will talk at 11:45. We'll probably get our first taste of where Trey Smith is outside of that. Denver leads the league in the NFL, 4.5 sacks a game. They are almost a full sack better.
They got like 30-something, 36, 37 sacks.
They are almost a full sack better than the next closest team, the Rams. And this is where I still think it's interesting. Even if Simmons is back with the team, I don't expect him to start the game against Denver, though I do think he could be a break glass in case of emergency if it was going poorly for Jalen Moore and things were going south. And if you're going to ask yourself Buffalo, they are currently fifth in the NFL in sacks per game, so you've certainly been pretty good in that category. They just lost their top sack guy, so maybe league average? You know, maybe that's what they are right now. They got a couple of guys, as Ross mentioned, off suspension, so maybe they're a league average sack team. Maybe after the loss of Ed Oliver, I'd argue they're probably a little bit below that, but at least somewhere in that range. Yeah, it is a serious thing. It's the only thing to watch, genuinely, on offense the next couple of weeks. Because I could say, like, well, Pacheco's missing. Is that going to have a massive impact on their offensive ability? I don't know. Probably not. But can a left tackle starting to struggle a little bit? Sure, especially if Trey Smith misses any more time.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we will get to the trash of the day, but the news in the NFL of the day centers around the Detroit Lions and reports now from just about every national reporter. Aiden Hutchinson gets a new deal, 4 years, $180 million, reportedly $141 million guaranteed for Hutchinson, who a year ago had that serious knee injury. He wanted a deal maybe in the offseason. They also talked about it and wanted to make sure that he was good to go. He has been very, very good so far in 2025. Massive money. We were talking about this during the break after Ross Tucker, and it's the fact that, Look, Aiden Hutchinson is a defensive player of the year candidate, is probably going to win one at some point in his career.
He's a great player.
And so I am not, with what I'm about to say, I am not saying that George Karloftis is the same player as Aiden Hutchinson. Okay, so before you guys jump down my throat on what I'm about to say, I am just saying that given the contract that George Karloftis signed and some pacing stats I'm about to give you, you should feel a hell of a lot better if you were still worried about the numbers attached to the George Karloftis contract. Once again, Cody, you want to fill us in on the George Karloftis contract? Because I'll give you some numbers on what he's doing on the field.
He is making, you just mentioned Aiden Hutchinson, who's going to make borderline pretty close to double the amount and guarantees more than double the amount. His contract was a 4-year, $88 million extension, $22 million a year, 61.7 totals and guarantees. He will not be a free agent until he is 30 years old in 2031, because he still had a year left remaining on this deal, and they had the fifth-year option. So it's actually like a 6-year deal, but the extension was 4 for $88 million.
Okay.
For the purposes of the argument. $22 million a year. I just told you Aiden Hutchinson's going to make 46, more than double. He's going to make 140 guaranteed, more than double the amount. So, like, I'll just tell you, George Karloftis may not be Aiden Hutchinson, but he's not 50% of Aiden Hutchinson, which means the deal's starting to look good.
Said it at the time. As years go on, the Karloftis deal is going to, the Karloftis deal financially is going to look really, really good. And look, George Karloftis is probably never winning a defensive player of the year.
No.
Okay. Probably never happening. Aiden Hutchinson probably will. But I'll give Jesse Newell credit from The Athletic on this. He was doing a player A, player B comp blind test yesterday, and it turns out the comp was between, it's great timing on this, between Aiden Hutchinson, I don't know, it was great timing, Aiden Hutchinson and George Karloftis. And Aiden Hutchinson has 6 sacks. Karloftis has 4.5. Aiden Hutchinson has a 2.4% sack rate. Karloftis, 2.1. Aiden Hutchinson, 39 QB pressures. Karloftis, 36. Aiden Hutchinson, 15.5% QB pressure rate. Karloftis, 16.5% QB pressure rate. Time to get to the quarterback, average time to pressure. Karloftis, 2.97. Hutch, 2.98. Quick pressures, now we're getting deep here, but quick pressures, 14 for Karloftis, 12 for Aiden Hutchinson. Numbers are not terribly far off so far this season.
Sacks would be 9.5 versus 12.5, yep. So I'll give Aiden Hutchinson
saying, I like the value I'm getting on the Karloftis deal. That's all I'm saying.
I think it's fairly obvious that it's already a cheap. I thought it was a cheap deal at the time. Like, I mean, genuinely, he plays an edge spot, and he'll get you 8 to 10 sacks a year. Look, maybe there is a ceiling, too. I don't know. Maybe he is a 12 or 13 sack guy 1 year. I don't think he's just going to take the Max Crosby turn and all of a sudden have these stat lines where you're saying all of a sudden his number goes way and way up. George Karloftis for the price is about as good as value as you can get. And I'll point out Aiden Hutchinson, who, again, plays the same position and plays very similarly. If you're like, well, has he had some big sack numbers? No. He played 17 games his rookie year, 9.5 sacks. He played in 17 games his second year. He had 11.5 sacks. He only played in 5 games last year and had 7.5 sacks. So he was turning it on and getting ready to be an absolute monster is what it looked like. And he's got 6 sacks this year in 7 games. But all the other periphery stats that we just mentioned point that these two guys are closer than you think. Really, what I view this as, George Karloftis is probably 80 to 85% of the player Aiden Hutchinson is for 50% of the cost. The simple math on that gold suggests that George Karloftis, whether you've been happy with his performance or think he gets enough sacks or get frustrated by his play that he doesn't win enough one-on-ones, is at the very least a great value player to have on your roster if that's what Aiden Hutchinson costs.
913-586-7965. And again, I knew this would happen when we had this conversation. Someone says, come on, guys, Aiden Hutchinson isn't playing with a Hall of Fame tackle. He's the one getting double teamed, not benefiting. Again, I'm not saying they're the same player. That was the whole point. The point is, do you like what you're getting based off the value, based on the contract that you have? Do you like what you're getting? And I also think this so far pacing year for Karloftis is more reason why by next Tuesday the Chiefs need to go and trade for another defensive lineman or an edge rusher.
Keep drafting him too. Like, it's not like they're just going to stop here.
You can say, like, well, this is why they shouldn't have to trade for someone if he gave him this contract. Well, Chris Jones is getting double teamed, and let's just call it like it is not winning when he's double teamed. The rare times he gets one-on-one matchups, he's winning at a better rate than anybody in football, but he's not getting one-on-one matchups, nor should he, if you're any other you're playing. Yeah. So Chris Jones is having a frustrating season. I'm sure he's frustrated because of the double teams and all that. Karlaftis is getting one-on-one opportunities, yes, and that is helping him have success, sure. Who's the third guy? Yesterday or 2 days ago was Mike Dana. Charles Omenihu, I think, is a possibility, but you and I both believe, and I think most people in Kansas City believe, if you can go find someone, maybe it's a Jalen Phillips type. The dream scenario is a Thibodeau, okay? But can you go and find somebody like that in a trade market to where everybody's getting one-on-one matchups, essentially?
Well, and beyond, I think beyond just the production, obviously this is more like the production comparison to the money thing, but yep. Them paying George early, I know they're not in the same ballpark, but them paying George early helps a little bit given this deal for Hutchinson.
Sure.
Kayvon Thibodeau is going to get paid probably even after he gets traded. That's kind of where it's leaning, but you know, the timing of it also lines up along with the production that George Karlaftis is giving.
That's exactly right. That was the thing. I mean, I could probably go back and we could find the audio or at least the rundown from the day Karlaftis got his extension. I think that's the exact conversation we had, which was that, you know, you're going to look and not only how long will it take for the deal to be extreme value, but how many other linemen are going to get paid between now and the next 2 years? And do you want to jump the line and get the security if you're George Karlaftis too.
Look, the price difference is, I would argue in looking at any of the guys in the top 25 paid at defensive end, there are maybe only two or three who I think are a better value than George Karlaftis, right? Mike, there's 14 guys paid higher than him now that Aiden Hutchinson's been paid. Some of them are just better players. Max Crosby, Micah Parsons, Miles Garrett, TJ Watt, whatever. They're better players. They also make double the average annual per year of what he makes. Better deal than George Karlaftis? Probably Nick Benito. He makes $5 million or $3 million more a year than George Karlaftis.
Nick Benito's.
he's a pretty good value. But I'll just tell you right now, Trey Henderson at $29 million a year or George Karlaftis at $22? I think I'll take the $7 million less in the production I'm getting. I'm not saying if the players cost the same.
You guys also this, healthy right now too.
This is also the argument.
That's the thing.
If the players cost the same, we're having a different argument.
Yes.
The players don't cost the same.
Exactly.
That's not how this works. There are players who are cheaper. There are players who cost less.
The Chiefs are already paying their version in their mind of Aiden Hutchinson, Chris Jones in terms of financially. They already have
number next year is
because that's the
huge
difference. What you're saying is would I rather pay, you know, the value or whatever. If Chris Jones was not on this football team and it was just George Karlaftis and a bunch of rookies, well, then I would say, yes, I would rather pay I would rather pay Aiden Hutchinson. But the Chiefs are already paying financially a player like Aiden Hutchinson. And that's why we've already brought it up. It's an offseason conversation. Next year's cap hit for Chris Jones is a big problem.
And even he's making
a big, big problem next year for the Chiefs. Problem.
And even he's making $15 million less per year than Aiden Hutchinson.
Yes.
So, like, for whatever it's worth, this goes back to, like, where they pay players sometimes and where the Chiefs have done it a little bit different, Gold, from the bigger perspective is they have been willing to pay guards and tackles, defensive tackles, like, instead of edge players because they tend to be cheaper by position. They tend to be less than their counterparts. Like, Chris Jones has been in his career as effective or more effective than Aiden Hutchinson. Edge guy costs more per year.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day. Drew always saves drops. Have you not heard this saying before? I don't even think this is drop worthy. Before you jump down my throat, he saved it as a drop. Before you jump down my throat. That's not even a. Drop.
Context, that's a pretty standard saying.
This wasn't, you know.
It is a little bit funny on their opposite end.
Yeah, I was surprised that was a drop.
I should have taken out the before part, I guess. Maybe that would have made it more like, what the heck?
All right, anyway, this is a story that fits this show very well, given our history. Has to do with bank robbers, number one. Number two, it turns out the suspected bank robber.
Okay.
I think there's a chance Cody taught this individual at UMKC.
They went to him about.
Let me clarify. This suspected bank robber, a serial robber, we'll get to the details in a second, it turns out is a graduate of the same university that you teach at.
What year did he graduate?
It
says 2024.
Yeah, he's young enough.
So
where
I could have taught him. I was teaching at UMKC in 2024. I don't recognize this name, and I know most of my students.
Yeah, well, you know,
I feel like I'd remember. I think I'd remember their name. I haven't taught that many kids over that many years.
I can't seem to find the link anymore of the article that I swear I read last night. The article said he was, he was in a class with TV performance and stuff. And I don't know if he learned some of his performing skills for this in your class. But anyway.
What? No, come on. Don't put this on me. I didn't teach a kid to... I taught listeners on the show.
You also used to work at a bank, so I mean, it seems like maybe he took your class. Maybe you were intentionally
based
the professor.
Based on this list, one of these banks is maybe 3 minutes from my house.
Hmm.
And another one is about 3 minutes from where I used to live.
So the FBI...
This man's hitting the old Cody Tapp neighborhood watch.
We'll just go with the first name. We're not going to mention the full name of the individual. But the FBI says that Weston was arrested. This was last Thursday after multiple metro area bank robberies. Around 2 on a Wednesday, they were called to a... I won't even mention the banks. I don't want to...
Yeah, just banks across
town. They were told a man walked in, handed an employee a note that demanded money. Agents indicated the note told the teller to stay calm, put money in the envelope. He allegedly made off with around $1,200. Okay? He escaped in a red Jeep.
He robbed a whole bank for $1,200?
Yeah, no. Well, it gets worse. Then, just after 3:35, law enforcement officials said they were told a man with the same description entered another bank. He presented the same note to demand money from another teller. This time, he got around $1,700, also left in the same red Jeep. The next day, law enforcement officials said they were called to another bank after another attempted robbery. This time, investigators noted that he was granted access to the bank lobby. However, he was asked to remove his mask. He then left. Then, 2 hours later, he was called to another bank. He approached the teller, produced the same note. He allegedly sanitized the counter he had been at. Law enforcement officials said he left with around $140.
What?
Less than an hour later.
So he's been to four banks now.
Less than an hour later.
Attempted and successfully, I guess, at the time, robbed three.
Uh-huh. He went to another bank. This time he was asked to lower his mask, to which he responded, "I will in a second." He approached another teller. This time they hit the panic alarm. The same note was produced. He was agitated. He got around $3,600, allegedly. The suspect was then spotted in a vehicle on 71 Highway. He was pulled over. He then tried to get out and run. They quickly tackled him. Took him into custody. And then there's a photo of a large amount of money. But he did all this. What, five alleged bank robberies? Five bank robberies. And you only got $6,800. You're risking your life. Prison time, federal prison time for $6,800. What a complete idiot.
I'm looking at a photo of the kid. I did not teach this former student. I want that to be on the record. I did not teach.
$6,800? You're going to go to prison for 10 years or
it
I don't know.
He was in the business.
Five
school.
Years.
The business, I'll tell you right now. He did not learn about ROI during that program because you got to get more than $6,600 if you rob four banks in 2 days.
Like what? It sounds to me like he just wanted to. This is something he liked the thrill of doing it. I guess.
Desperation.
And
I don't know.
Was he in trouble financially? Who knows what goes through the minds of some of these criminals? But again, if you're gonna put yourself in a spot to risk spending federal prison time.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you got to think that there's a little bit more of a reward element here than $6,800.
Using the same note, too, man.
Fortunately, he was not armed. So, for everybody's safety, and also I'm sure the charge will be a little different. That's also probably why he only got $6,800, for being real.
I mean, that probably didn't help the amount. But if you also don't state the amount you want, what are they going to do? Just, like, hand you all the money?
The letter said all bills. Letter said, stay calm. All bills.
I mean, well, we're gonna hand you a bag of coins.
Is that I took that as in every bill you got.
Stay calm, all bills.
I don't think it was every bill.
Give me in a minute. Is that what you said? I will in a second. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I said I will in a second. I'll take legitimately,
like I can't imagine, but like imagine walking into a bank and you're already in the spot where you're dumb enough to go through with what you're about to go through with. And all you walked out with was $140 at one of the banks? I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, anyway.
That makes me think that
that's a trash.
That's why he kept going to more banks. Didn't get enough money at any.
I don't know, man. That's just, it's weird.
He's going to go to jail for a long time.
All right. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's get back into the next three games the Chiefs have ahead and what they have to do to not only be in position for the division, but also the number one seed. Plus, you're going to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes right here on Cody and
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Gold.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net. We're talking about drawer limits for banking in the break, believe it or not, because
somebody
they have changed it. So like when I go to the bank and I'm like, and if I get money for like in between or some of the stuff, the gambling stuff or poker or whatever stuff we're doing.
Oh, poker.
They get it all out of the, you know, like the cash, essentially their version, the teller version of the ATM. I imagine it's not as easy to like just, you don't keep as much cash in your drawers you used to.
Yeah.
My drawer limit when I worked at UMB was $100,000.
That's insane. That's insane.
They let me personally be in charge of $100,000 when I worked there. I imagine
they don't do
that anymore.
No, it's way less. It is way less.
It's been an interesting week in terms of connections to Cody.
Yeah.
Well, I don't run an illegal poker game.
Friday,
I didn't teach the former student who was robbing.
I understand.
Last Thursday, you were gone the day of the FBI investigation stuff. And then
I'm here. You don't see me in cuffs, do you?
That doesn't mean anything. You could have already bailed yourself out.
It was a quick turnaround.
Someone do some checking. Also, someone text in, please. So I got a DM from somebody on Twitter, but I think our text line is acting up, so if you don't mind, 913-586-7965. If you're out there, please text in. I think the text line is frozen
again?
What I'm getting at. Yeah.
It happens every once in a while.
I'll be honest. Usually we know, like, it's not normal for a text not to pop up for 20 minutes. That's not a normal thing, so.
That is an uncommon amount of time. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. But you had mentioned.
Yeah.
Earlier in the show, look, this is a massive three-game stretch for the Chiefs. There's just no way to put it. I mean, at Buffalo, a bye, at Denver, and then the Colts. This is a huge three-game stretch. And the way I view it is, I will take this team as serious as I take them now, as in they are one of the four best teams in the NFL as it sits right now, with one of the best offenses and one of the best defenses, just as long as they win two out of these three. Two out of three puts a stamp on the league. If they by any chance win all three, well, then the rest of the league is going to go running for covers. I mean, it will be running for cover. It will be like a petrifying moment for the rest of the NFL. But the most important game is at Denver. The second most important game, in my opinion, is this weekend at Buffalo, just because I don't want to go to Orchard Park in the playoffs. I don't have to. Not that they can't win there, just would prefer not to. And then the third most important is the Colts. The only reason that one's going to matter is for the number one seed. And it's going to tell us something about where the Colts actually are for any of the doubters that still remain. You still doubt them in some way?
I do.
That game against the Chiefs in a month or so will tell you something about Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, if the Colts were to come into Arrowhead and get a win and Daniel Jones looks great and all that, and the Chiefs are healthy going in and don't have a catastrophic injury in the game or something, then I think I will have a different view on Indy at that point. Now, what I will say is, remember, the Colts are the third game on the list. in order, and it's third on your list, you know, just in terms of importance. As we all know, if the Chiefs were to lose to Buffalo, suddenly the Colts game seems far more important too. You would agree with that, right? Like if the Chiefs were to lose on Sunday to Buffalo, then the pressure in the Broncos game is turned up even more. The pressure
right
in the Colts
game.
It's right
back to the same way as the Lions game
was.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden it's back to being must win for the division, which feels dangerous.
Yeah,
That's why that Buffalo game matters.
The Broncos game, no doubt, is because it's a divisional matchup and everything. But I think in a weird way, depending on your belief in the Bills still winning the AFC East versus the Patriots or something like that, there's a chance the Colts game actually has bigger ramifications than the Bills game. I know it doesn't feel that way now because the Bills are up and you want to keep the momentum going and you don't want to put the pressure that you got to win against guaranteed.
But the only reason that game will matter that much is if they win the next two. So that's the problem. That's why it ranks third in this list. But I also you know what? As much as I think sometimes you lament having a more difficult schedule, like for instance, the Chiefs have the fourth hardest remaining strength of schedule based on team's current win percentage. We're halfway through the season. I think it's a fair way to judge it. Mm-hmm. The Patriots have the easiest, by the way, in the NFL. But the Bills have they're medium. The Colts are medium. They're seventh or eighth. They're not way far down the list because the Jags have a winning record. The Texans are around 500. So they don't get to just walk away from these. I like this because I am at as high of a level confidence-wise as I've been in the Chiefs in a while. Maybe more, and this goes back to Patrick Mahomes saying it's more fun, maybe more gold than at any point during the 15-2 season. When I have real questions and I'm this problem's never going to get solved and every game's going to be a sweat and I don't know what to think of it. The way they're playing right now, and because they're beating teams up so bad, I'm weirdly confident they can, I don't think they'll win all three of these games. But if you'd asked me this last year, I'd be like, well, they're definitely not winning all three of these games. I think it's at least a possibility this year. There's nothing that stops me from thinking. What are their, do you know their look-ahead lines? I'm now curious.
Yeah, I can pull it up.
What are the three look-ahead lines? What are they favored by in all three games? We know they're favored.
I was just going to say, you agree, though, that the toughest opponent, this is weird, this is where I don't believe in the Colts as much maybe as others. The Broncos is the game that is not only the more important one, but is the toughest game on the next three, the next three.
I think because of matchups, yes. When you're catching them, who's healthy, all that other stuff.
Their old line has given up the fewest sacks in football. Their defensive line has the most sacks in football. Anyway, all right, to answer your question,
and Bo Nix is playing better.
To answer your question, look ahead lines. Right now, Chiefs -2 at Denver, so 2-point favorites, and 3.5 at home against Indy. That's just look ahead lines. It'll probably change, but if you were wondering. And looking at the rest of the way, I'll just go through it real quick. So the three I mentioned, at Dallas right now, look ahead, -6. Houston at home, -6. Chargers at home, -4. At Tennessee, -15. Denver, -4. And then week 18 at Vegas, -9.5.
It's crazy because their schedule, after you get through these three games, gold. I mean, list those off. It ain't that bad. Once you get through
Buffalo, Denver, Indy, Dallas.
Okay, that's not bad.
Home to Houston.
Not
home
bad.
To the Chargers.
Not bad.
We'll see where the Chargers are.
It's fine. But
at Tennessee, home to Denver, at Vegas.
It could be a lot worse. The fact that you have three division games, but
Indianapolis,
two important ones are home.
Indy has Pittsburgh, Atlanta, bye, Kansas City on the road. Home to Houston, at Jacksonville, at Seattle, home to San Francisco, home to Jacksonville, at Houston. And then Buffalo, if you were wondering, obviously KC, and then at Miami, home to Tampa, at Houston, at Pittsburgh, home to Cincy, at New England, at Cleveland, home to Philly, home to the Jets.
That is a significantly harder schedule than the one you just listed for Kansas City, especially after these three. This three, you know what it is? This three is the swing for everything. It is going to tell you if they're losing the division for the first time in a decade. It's going to tell you if they have a shot at the one seed. It's going to tell you everything you need to know about this team. They're a playoff team. We don't have any questions about that. It'll just tell you when they're going to have to play in the playoffs, what teams, what likely opponents they'll have to face in the playoffs, division or no division, one seed or no one seed. These three games decide all of that. They'll tell you everything about this team. They win all three, they're going to be heavy, 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 heavy Super Bowl favorites. I mean minus money maybe, which is a lot for an early season portion of a team when you can take the entire damn field against it. And if they lose a couple, then they're not going to win the division. I mean, that's the truth. They lose two out of three, they're not winning the division.
I would agree with that. Up next, Andy Reid. Patrick Mahomes going to speak live here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll find out if there's an update on Trey Smith. Remember, he missed this past game due to some back spasms. That's coming up right here on Cody and Gold.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.